soul, you think, well, of course God is going to use you because, you know, you are different. But I'm going to talk to you this morning about how God uses ordinary people. The people in Scripture weren't some super, like today it's the big deal to have superheroes, right? Spider-Man, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. But you know what? God uses everyday people. I'm just a little Iowa, I'm a big Iowa farm girl. I'm not special. But the Spirit of God in me is what you're seeing. This energy is from God. It's not from the caffeinated coffee, which most of you think. I'm telling you, the song by Andre Crouch that I first heard many years ago when he wrote it, really it talks about my life. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it, although I'd love to hear Leona play it. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong, but in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials came to only make me strong. I've been to a lot of places. I've seen a lot of faces. There have been times I felt so all alone. But in those lonely hours, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was his own. That's the reason I sing through it all. Through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, yeah, through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys. I thank him for the storms he brought me through, for if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve it. I wouldn't even know what faith in God could do. And that's why I can sing through it all. And you know that. Some of you know this song, through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. It doesn't just come to you like ESP, beep, beep, beep. Oh, hey, I can trust in God now. No. You have to actually read his book and actually believe that he wrote that book for you. He didn't just write it for Pastor Mark or Pastor Jonathan. It's for you. It's for me. He left it for little kids. He left it for old people who think, well, what can I do now? You know, I'm up there in the 70s. Some of you are more than that. And he has a job for you. Joshua said to the mountain when he was 80, God, give me that mountain. I want to be like Joshua. What are you asking God for? What is it that you, in the morning when you meet him, when you get up and he chooses to give you another day? He didn't have to wake you up today. He chose to wake you up today because he is the life giver. I learned this because I grew up on a farm, and farmers are very dependent upon God for everything. I was the fifth of eight children born to my parents, Adam and Nellie Potratz, and I'm really thankful for the home I grew up in. I haven't always been. I used to be embarrassed because my parents were farmers. And people always had expressions like, oh, those dumb farmers. Oh, yeah, well, you know, technical difficulties here. Is that better for some of you? I know you might have been having trouble. Can you hear me? Thank you. Some of you are hiding it a little well, so I'm not sure. How about up there in the balcony? Yeah, good. Thank you. Wake up. Good morning. I have to tell you, my Christian conversion, it was a very wild year. I was 9 years old. But that year was an unprecedented year in my life. At 9 years old, I knew God wanted me to serve him because this missionary had come to our church. I'd like to tell you this story, but I already told it in Sunday school, so you missed it. And Florence Miller impacted me at nine. Not only Florence Miller, but my church that I grew up in impacted me. Because I learned at 9 years old that God heard the prayers of a 9-year-old. because my mom was diagnosed with cancer. I didn't know what cancer was. Cancer? What's cancer? I thought, actually, people didn't used to say the word out loud, because I guess it was bad if you said it, because then you might get it. I don't know how they thought, kind of goofy back then. And if somebody had cancer, you weren't supposed to say it. I know, isn't it really weird? It's kind of like it takes it away, but it doesn't take it away. Well, my dad had us all sit down, and he told us that my mom had cancer, and he said, and I'm thinking she's pregnant, because every time my mom got something, it was another baby. So I thought, wow, we're going to have another baby, okay. And I asked my dad if she was going to have a baby, and he was so upset with me, because he thought it was pretty obvious what cancer was. I didn't know. There's been a lot of weird names in our neighborhood. I thought cancer could have been the name of the new baby. My dad goes, no, your mom is so sick, Carol, she might not come home again. Really? Oh, my goodness. No, I didn't know. I couldn't get it. And so we went. My dad told the church, and the church decided they would have a prayer meeting for 3 days, all day for 3 days. And people signed up, and they came for 1 hour and prayed, and then they would leave when the next person came, and you could say, well, they could have prayed at home. That's a waste of gas. Yeah, they could have. But they believed coming to the house of the Lord, making that effort, and calling out to Him, and purposing they wanted to do that. Well, I'll tell you what, it impacted me for the rest of my life. And when I was little, like you guys, I realized, oh my goodness, this God that we keep talking about, this God of heaven, He's listening to us. And I'm like, God, please, my dad is old. He's 65. He could die any second. And please, he can't raise us. There are still 6 of us at home. Only my oldest sister was married. I'm like, oh my goodness, if my dad had to raise us, can you imagine? My youngest sister was 3. My dad, when he called out to God, when our family came in for our hour, he lined us up, we're all kneeled against this first pew, and my dad is calling out, begging God. I will never forget it. I will never forget the passion in his voice and talking to a God he knew. It wasn't some foreign God he was hoping would hear him. My dad was talking personally to a God I heard him talk to every night. That impacted me as a kid. My parents lived a living Christ in our home. They talked about him when we're out picking up eggs, when we're out in the garden, when we're out in the field mowing hay. My dad would say, hey, isn't it? Look at that, how God made pheasant families. Isn't that cool? Look at that nest. And we'd be looking at the nest, and we'd be examining the little baby pheasants. And my dad would teach us the birds as we're going along on the tractor, probably so we wouldn't get bored, but it worked. My dad taught us that the God of heaven is the same God who meets us. We sang that song this morning. The same God who's in the Bible is the same God who wants to answer your prayers. Is the same God who's taken these guys to Egypt. He's the same God who met us here. And the same God who met your relatives here in 1953 when you started. It's not just, hey, wasn't that cool how he showed up today? No. This is his house. What did you expect? That's what happened to me when I came to church when I was a kid. In fact, when I went to Mexico, I was in university. I met 2 missionary families, and they took that home that I came from and helped me to see with new eyes how that would look in Mexico. It was amazing. It was invigorating. It was electric. When I saw them meet people in the neighborhood, I wanted to be like that. I wanted to talk, even though I knew very little Spanish. I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to help the people in our little neighborhood just like they were, and they gave me a thirst for missions that kept on going. Then I taught public school for a couple years, and I saw kids who didn't want to go home at night. They came to my room to hang out with me, and I'm like, what in the world? You want to hang out with your teacher? Give it up. Go home. I want a break. But they knew when I saw them and the value they had and the amazing talent they had, but there was nobody home. Nobody cared if they got home on time. Nobody gave them any rules. Not like my home. I had lots of rules. Then I went to Japan, and you heard a little bit about that. When I went to seminary, I was forced to think in new ways. And God took that seminary time, and it was very precious. But before that, I have to tell you something. When I was going to Japan, the first time, many people told me not to go. They said I was selfish. They said I was going on a vacation, a two-year vacation. They said, what are you going over there for when your mom is sick? Because my mom, although she had been healed the first time, after that dynamic prayer meeting of 3 days, my mom was healed, and she raised us. But I can tell you, when I was going to Japan, this is now 12 years later, she was not doing well, and cancer had come back. And the doctor said she had 6 weeks to 6 months to live, but they weren't going to tell her she had cancer because they thought she would have a longer life if she didn't know. I'm like, what? What do you mean? You're not going to tell her. No, do not mention it. Okay. And then the doctor said to my dad, you need to talk to your daughter. She should not be going to Japan because your wife has at the most 6 months to live. Her going to Japan could shorten that. My dad didn't know. He was not sure what to say to the doctor because he was respecting the doctor, but my dad didn't agree. So my dad prayed about it silently, didn't tell me. I'm trying to figure out what I should do. Should I go to Japan or not? Because I had heard this proclamation. And so I was deciding I'm going to go talk to my mom about it. That's the best thing. So I went to my mom. And as I'm going, I'm in the hospital foyer, and I see my sister, my oldest sister, and she says to me, Carol, don't you dare talk to mom about going to Japan. You don't tell her she has cancer. You better be quiet. I'm like, I will not bring it up, but I have to talk to her about my decision. And she goes, if you bring this up, Carol, I will be so angry with you. So I went a little further and I saw my mom's sister, one of them, and she says to me, Carol, don't talk to your mom about cancer. Man, isn't this just superstitious or something? Isn't it goofy? There are still people who believe like this. I hope none of you are them. If you are, I'm sorry. So then I get in the elevator, and a doctor walks in with me, and we're going on up, and he says to me, hey, aren't you one of those Potrats girls? I said, yes, I am, sir. He said, are you the one who's going on that vacation? I said, sir, it's not a vacation. And he goes, oh, well, okay, prolonged holiday. I said, no, I'm going to be a missionary. He said, well, whatever it is, forget it. He said, your mom has 6 weeks to 6 months to live. You'll be responsible if it's shorter. Oh, sorry, this is my floor. Gets off. Do you know how I felt? I felt so confused. I felt so burdened. I felt so weary. I didn't know what to do. What would have you done? So I get off. I have a painting with me. We tried to make my mom's room really homey. We brought in some curtains for the windows, and I did a painting for her wall, and we have a little soft music playing on the little tape recorder. And she said, you guys brought everything except the kitchen sink. So I did a painting of our kitchen sink. And I was hanging it right in front of her, you know. And I hung it up there, and she says to me, you look terrible. What's wrong? Do you think I'm going to die? Carol, I have cancer. Of course I'm going to die. Who told you? Carol, I'm the one who's sick. What do you expect? She said, yeah, I have cancer. Now, what's your problem? I told her what I just told you. And she said, Carol, forget it. 24 years ago, We dedicated you as a baby. We gave you to the Lord. The whole church affirmed that dedication. We're not taking you back now. She said, Carol, if I die tonight, or if I die in 6 weeks, and you stay home, do you think I want to walk before the Lord and have him look at me and say, Nellie Potratz, you gave Carol to me and now you took her back? What kind of gift is that? No. Don't put this on me. If you are called, you go. And if you are not called, you stay. That is only between you and the Lord. Well, Mom, she said, I'm serious, Carol. It is between you and the Lord, and only you will know. If I feel if the Lord is calling you, Carol, you better go. You can't, what do you think? You have power to keep me alive? So you stay home, and in 6 months I die, then what? What are you going to do? Sit around? Doing what? No, Carol, you go. I will be here when you come back. I went to talk to my dad about the same thing. My dad was in a different hospital with inoperable gallstones. I go to that hospital, and this is back in the day, I know, hard for you guys to believe. They didn't have telephones in every room. They had one telephone on the floor. I know, no cell phones. Yeah, we did have color TV. So I go to see my dad, and my dad told me word for word what my mom said. They had not talked. Word for word. That's the power of God. So why do I tell you this story this morning? Because of what Pastor Mark read, first in Romans and then in Matthew. There's been a lot more to my life after that, and some of it you know. And if you want to know it, I'll just give you this paper. It's all right here. Really, the condensed version. But the main idea is this. In the very bottom line, what happened? I love this. It says, and as the disciples were together, Jesus came among them, and some worshiped him, and some doubted. And I'm here to tell you, Rowandale, that's happening this morning in this congregation right now. Jesus is coming to each of you, and he's asking something of each of you. And some of you doubt that he's really coming to you. Oh, you know he's coming to those young ones. I'm talking to each of you because he comes to us in a way that we can understand. He knows us. We sang it. He knows your name. He loves you so much, he carves your name in his hand. It's in Psalms. Look it up. He loves you so much, he catches your tears in a bottle. You don't even do that. You don't even know how many hair are on your head, but he does. That's how much he loves you. And he comes to you this morning. And some of you, just like the 10 talents, he's expecting more of than he is of others. What is it he's asking you today? Maybe for some of you, he wants your heart because you've never given it. You've always held part of it back because you didn't know what would happen if you really trusted him with all of who you were. Do it. He is worthy. Maybe for some of you, it's a reconciliation. There is one person, or maybe a couple, that if you see them, you will go another way. That is not like Christ. The Christ in you would not have that. He would say to you, stop. You need to reconcile. For some of you, you've been wrestling with growing older, and it's hard. You can't do what you used to do. But that doesn't mean you can't do anything. What is it? Do you go to him every day? Do you look to him? Do you trust him? Are you reading his word and letting it fill you with strength? Some of you are young and haven't really started meeting with him every day. You don't go to him every day. And when you have a problem, you text your friend before you talk to him. That is not the way he would have it. He would say to you, text me It's free. Where are you this morning? What is he asking of you? I don't know. I'm so glad. I'm having a hard enough time dealing with what he's asking of me. But he is coming to each of you. And he comes in a way that you would recognize. Now, he's not going to walk, kids, he's not going to walk up here and go, psst, hi, it's me, Jesus. He doesn't do that. He talks to your heart. He talks to your mind, okay? So don't think he's going to, sometimes he does come looking like someone else. But he'll come to you because he is faithful. He says he will meet you, he will, unlike us. And some of you here, he's calling to serve him full time. Who are you? What are you doing with that? That is up to you. Because what he said to his disciples before he left, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I commanded you. I'm trying to do just that. How about you?